As Dr. Ng said, I'm Ella Green Moten, and I've been asked to provide the community perspective on where we've been, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. I serve as a community bridge out of the Center for Public Health and Community Genomics at the School of Public Health, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. And I'm really honored to stand here and talk about some of the accomplishments that we've done in our partnerships, which include our academic partners, our practice partners, as well as community partners. Okay. What do I push? The red button? All righty. So as we embrace our 10th anniversary celebration, and before I talk about the actual journey from a community perspective, I have to talk a little bit about how, why, when, and where we started, as well as taking a look at who was at the table and who was actually involved. I wanted to focus on our connecting with our past, connecting with our present, and our future. And I chose to use the Sankofa bird. And if you're not familiar with this, it's a Western African symbol where the bird is actually flying forward, looking backward with an egg in its mouth. The egg symbolizes the future. So this tells me that we must go back and reclaim our past so that we can move forward, so that we understand why and how we came to be who we are today. And this is just some verbiage about the Sankofa bird. And I won't read all of that because I know we're running sort of tight here. So the objectives for this presentation are to understand the history, to revisit the 10-year journey, to celebrate the accomplishments, and to carve out the next 10 years. So when we think about the history, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the history maybe than some of the other pieces, because I think the history really grounded us in where we are, who we are, and where we're going. The Community Health Scholars Program, which was established in 1998, provided the foundation for the development of the Community-Based Public Health Caucus. The CHSP program also served as a catalyst for the development and continued growth of the CBPH caucus at the American Public Health Association. The Community-Based Public Health Caucus, formally established in 2001, was guided by the belief that the community lies at the heart of public health. The Community-Based Public Health Caucus, now numbering more than 400 members, with an active program of publications and presentations, policy advocacy, and promotion of community representation within APHA. This process also included making good on a promise. And I heard that a few years ago from some of our founding members, and it just sort of stayed in my head because it was so profound to me that this whole idea actually came out of discussions of the community-based public health initiative funded by Kellogg and was discussed at an earlier program, a National Center for Advancing Public Health. They talked about doing some of the same things I think that we're doing now, but that didn't move forward as far as they had hoped. But so when the caucus was established, those community partners and some of the academic partners started to think about or continued to think about and talked about some of the things that they had been talking about under that program. And realized the community-based organization members realized that They concluded that if their role as community partners was to be fully realized, they needed to develop an effective network of CBOs who want to partner together with academics and agency and governmental institutions to carry out research and solve community problems. So building on the foundation of the structure, relationships, and discussions that came out of the CBPH initiative funded by the Kellogg Foundation in the early 90s, the promise was established as the network of CBOs, which was actually introduced by the earlier program. So again, the process, the development process. NC Bone didn't just fall out of the sky. There was a lot of talking, a lot of discussing on what this would be and how it would look. So in 2001, there was a town hall meeting where the community members there, and yes, in 2001, this caucus was bringing community folk to APHA. So there was a town hall meeting to talk about what they wanted to do, how it would look. In 2002, there was a first planning meeting to further talk about what we were going to do. In 2003, the second annual planning meeting. So you see, this didn't just happen. We didn't just sit down once and decide this is what we... There was a lot of things that had to be discussed, and I would be willing to bet that a lot of that, if you've heard about the time it takes to do CBPR, well, that was CBPR, because they had to talk about some things and have a meeting of the minds. So in 2003, that second planning meeting took place. And in 2004, NC Bone was established. And NC Bone was established to create a national presence, to identify a national space to collaborate, to create a national collective voice, to develop a national unified agenda, and develop operating principles. And these principles are used today to guide our activities within NC Bone. So just to talk a little bit about the accomplishments, and you've heard some of the things this morning, some of those of you who were able to come to the breakfast, and some of the work that's being done by the work groups of the caucus. So 10 years of community engagement, realizing the dream. The CBPH caucus has modeled and is the epitome of community engagement through its careful and deliberate actions over the past 10 years, paying attention to its mission, its purpose, and goals by honoring its membership. So in 2001, as we said, the caucus was formally established. In 2004, NC Bone was formally established. And the caucus presented and was approved, had approved its first policy statement through APHA. In 2006, we had our inaugural community reception. In 2006, we also had a community member appointed to as an at-large member of the Action Board of APHA. In 2007, we had a community member appointed as chair of the Action Board of APHA, as well as one of the Joint Policy Committee chairs. In 2008, the caucus was awarded a non-voting seat at APHA Governing Council. In 2009, we had a community member serve as an ex officio member of the Executive Board of APHA. And in 2010, we have witnessed the creation of the 2010 Youth Council. So, the next 10 years. Where do we go and how do we get there? So I think it would be a no-brainer to think that we definitely would have to build on what we've already done. So we want to build on the first 10 years. We want to fully understand the field of public health. We want to reevaluate our goals. We want to assess our personal commitment. We want to value our partnerships. We want to pay attention to the speed bumps, and there are some, and probably always will be. We want to continue to be concerned about capacity building at all levels and for all members. And we want to capitalize on all opportunities. So when we look at the future and think it in terms of how we'll get there, we think about the caucus and how we will continue the work through our membership, through our leadership, and through our goals and objectives. As we think about the working groups, you heard a little bit from them this morning, but the membership work group being responsible pretty much for our having over 400 members in the caucus at this time, being concerned with community members, being concerned with the youth being a part of that movement, and the creation of a pipeline for the next generation. When we think about the publications, presentations work group, understanding that this year we had the largest number of abstracts ever, and that we have academic and community program planners who work together to make this possible. We think about the policy work group. We think about the work they've done as far as getting that first policy passed and now working to create additional policies. We think about providing comment on national initiatives when asked, and also being concerned with preparing its members to take on leadership positions within APHA. And when we think about NCBONE and its accomplishments, we think about the membership and the networking, and last night was a great example of what that membership and networking is all about. We think about the youth chapter. We think about the fundraising and fund development that's necessary to move us forward. And we think about the idea of creating state affiliates that our incoming president mentioned earlier. And in addition to all of those things, we think about examples of last night, the annual community reception, where we intend to provide that kind of activity in all of the cities that we journey to as we continue to participate in APHA, but to consider building the relationships on a national level, to consider sharing information, to consider building capacity, and to be committed to create new leaders. We also have to think very hard about our CBPH Youth Council, creating the next generation of public health professionals. Understanding that these young folk come from different backgrounds, from different their different ages, understanding that the students are here learning about public health, and understanding that they are experiencing and learning from the work that's being done here by us. So if we really think seriously about how, and considering the next 10 years and beyond, I would encourage us to remember this symbol. This is an additional symbol of Sankofa, but it's the Sankofa heart. And to think about our youth when we think about this symbol, to think about the community-based public health youth council, and to think in terms of this as being our youth as we continue to keep the community at the heart of public health. Thank you.
thanks for all those wonderful presentations, and we have about 20 minutes for some interaction. I'd like to ask all of our panelists to come up with three more chairs. There are, I think, that many loose now in the front row. And I think we can extend this row out. Yeah, great. Okay, questions, comments, suggestions? Yes. I can't. You are all a blur, so I will just point, right?
This is a question for Dr. Gilbert, and I really appreciated that you took the findings from the photo boy sort of beyond the traditional themes and issues identified and kind of contextualized them within discourse of the masculinity. And I wondered if there are other, if you published or if there's other papers out there that kind of look at it or do that analysis in the same way. Usually the ones that I've seen have just been a little bit more, I don't want to say superficial because it conducts lanes of action and, you know, policy, but I appreciate that deeper level.
I guess the short answer is no. I haven't seen any publications that do the same thing. And how I kind of, I mean, part of the reason why I applied it that way, the ideas of masculinity, is one, because I haven't seen it, and two, as I really read and thought about not only the transcripts, but thought about the experiences of the photo discussions with the youth, it made sense to me. And it made sense because when I listened to the tapes and read the transcripts and thought about what the youth were really saying was going on with them, either in their schools, in their homes, in their neighborhoods, part of it really is about their identity and how they are developing as and becoming men, and really just thinking about the difficulties and challenges of that, and then even reflecting on my own experiences as an African American male. So.
So I'll ask the two young men. Dr. Gilbert was talking about kind of the perceptions of schools that young black men have.
Can people in the back hear?
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of pick up on that piece regarding, and I had not really thought about school in terms of the perception among some African American men that school kind of has this very effeminate type perspective and kind of context. So could you say a little bit more about how, in terms of listening and conducting the photo voicing, that other young men began to communicate that idea? And maybe why they were disengaged in school because of that?
Well, with like photo voice, kind of gave like us an opportunity to say what's really going on in the environment, and instead of like adults guessing or like trying to put two and two together. So like, really we came to the conclusion, like, because we have such a high dropout rate, we were just trying to figure out, why is everybody dropping out? So we put like pieces together from our environment, like gangs, because we have a lot of, I'm from Durham, we have a lot of gangs, a lot of violence. So we put like stuff like that together and realized like, mostly males are dropping out instead of females. And in my school especially, like females are viewed as smarter than males, and more females make AB honor roll than guys. So we kind of like just pieced it together and looking about like around school and seeing how it was, like we barely see females dropping out, especially in Durham. So that's how we kind of came to that conclusion.
We could solve a lot of national problems if we could just go
yes.
with that theory alone. I mean, that's just a very unique thing, so I really appreciate that. So thank you. That's really great. We need to get that published and funded more, find out really what that means and what that looks like. So thank you so much.
Great.
You're so articulate on that.
Great. Other comments, questions, please.
I'm a junior in high school.
In high school?
I'm in the eighth grade.
Wow.
We think this is a first for American Public Health Association presentations. Right.
Others are planning to come behind us, though.
Pardon? Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. Leading the way. Right. Yeah. You make us look awfully good. Other questions, please.
Good question. When we started, there was a little bit of difficulty with one of the groups in particular, part because we started right before Christmas, a little bit before Christmas. And so, and I guess backing up, thinking about it, how we when we started, not everybody really understood what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and how it would start making sense. And so keeping them engaged was somewhat of a challenge and somewhat difficult. There was a point where we had a meeting with one of the groups to kind of say, I was very honest and open with them, you know, from the beginning, that if you don't want to do this, you don't have to. And we had a kind of a come to Jesus kind of conversation, because people weren't, you know, guys weren't turning in the cameras, because I wouldn't pick the cameras up, you know, the day of their discussion, so we develop them, all that kind of stuff. But food actually ended up being a great motivator. So that was one thing that kept them engaged. The other group, they met twice a month. And so it was a little bit better in terms of keeping them engaged, but also at a certain point, they kind of became a little disinterested after about 3 months, which we went at least for about, I would say, all the assignments spanned about 4 to 5 months. So actually another important part, at a point where I was ending actually with the high school group, I was actually a little burned out with, you know, running two groups, trying to look for a job, all that kind of stuff. And they actually started calling. Are we meeting today? I'm like, huh? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, if you want to meet, we can meet, you know? And so they turned it around. And so I was like, I was just really surprised. So they really started owning it in a lot of different ways. So I was most appreciative about that, and that re-energized me. So. Do you want to answer that? I'm about to talk about you.
First, like, to say, like, why we were so interested, one of the big reasons was because food. Like, and Keon didn't get us, like, no chips or nothing like that. He got us, like, y'all want, like, Mexican food? Had, like, tacos. So... And it was right after school, so you're already hungry. So, but to me, it was just like, who wouldn't want to do that? Because in my youth group called Partners for Youth, it's like we have a lot of old people. And so they like jump to conclusions about what's going on. So to me, I just wanted people to know like what's really going on instead of what people think is going on. Because it wasn't... Most of the people like that were in my group were like popular, stuff like that. So we knew what was really happening. So I really like it was interesting to me. And then another reason was like after towards the end, Keon wasn't just like a person that came get pictures. Like he became like one of my friends. So, like, we got real close, like, met my parents and stuff like that. Like, we actually friends instead of, like, just somebody who is a chaperone and comes to get pictures and brings us food. So that was one of the reasons. And to answer the question, well, during public schools, freshman year is your most important year. If you mess up freshman year, you pretty much set in stone for what you're going to do throughout the rest of high school. And that's not right. But freshman year, I was like, I wouldn't even imagine me coming up here because I didn't do anything. I barely came to class, let alone, like, care about anything that anybody had to say. So, like, at the beginning of the year, when we first started doing the photo thing, I really didn't care. I just wanted the free food. But, like, towards the end, you kind of, like, I saw a change in myself. Like, as far as, like, you get to see what's going on and, like, what happens to the people that drop out. And I don't want that for myself after high school, like, to be sitting around Durham. Like, who wants that, to be sitting around their hometown doing nothing? So, like, to me, I think I was one of the kids who had the biggest impact because, in the end, I went to every meeting. I turned in my pictures every week. I took pictures. So, like, I was, like, one of the most fully participated people. So, like, to me, I had the biggest turnaround because now, like, I'm looking into going to college. Before I started, I didn't even. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But so to me, I had the biggest turnaround because, you know, it kind of opened my eyes to what I want for the rest of my life instead of what is going on in my neighborhood and society now.
I just wanted to say that I really liked the meetings because they were the questions and like the conversation was real good and I like to talk a lot, so it was real good for me.
Oh, and when we did do the photo things, it got real. Like, we actually talked about girls, like, what's really going on. So, like, it wasn't like we were sugarcoating it and stuff like that. We actually talked about what was going on.
That's right.
So.
All right.
Please.
My question is to the young man. Come back. You said when you were talking, some of the things to stay away from, it was gangs and violence, and you also said women. And but then you also said, when you came back up last time, you said that the females in Durham are considered smarter than the young men.
Mm. I don't think necessarily, I didn't mean we shouldn't be around the women, because, I mean, I love women, so, but, to be honest, no, ma'am, because in Durham, it's pretty much, this is wrong, but you take what you can get, so, if that's all they can get, that's all they're going to have. So, how much it is.
Please.
With you, some of the community groups I'm involved with, and
You're interested in becoming consultants?
Yes. So I think we have time for maybe two more questions.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 minutes. This is not a question, it's more of a comment. And I just want to comment, Dr. Gilbert. Because if you all noticed when that young man was doing his presentation, how much he was touched. So it's not so much about replicating this program, but it's the commitment that folks have.
Your name?
I just had a quick question for you. How are your peers? Do they know you're involved in this? Are they responding and interested in more of anything that's going? The next generation of you guys?
My group is really interested in it, but most of them had like sports and stuff like that. So like towards the end, they kind of like lost interest. But like as far as like the whole thing together, they were really like interested in it. Excited about it because of the simple fact that you get to really say what you want and how you really feel instead of, you know, like I said, sugarcoating it and like trying to make it sound nicer than it is.
Thank you. I have a question for our Chicago partners. And so so we don't want you to feel left out. So for our Chicago partners, they're taking notes as well. So one of the things that Ms. Webb said on, I believe, Sunday night was around this whole issue of kind of bi-directional learning. So you talked a lot about learning in terms of increasing the capacity of the community-based organizations. I wonder what was being done around increasing the capacity of the academic partners to prepare them to work in the community.
Sure.
So I was kind of, I didn't hear that. So say something about that if you did anything.
I have been trying for a few hours today to come up with a theory that we were taught about back at school. Someone help me. The concentric circles, what's it called?
The ecological model, right?
So the individual first has to learn, and then their organization, then their community, right? It goes out like a ripple. Our group started with the community agencies. So to be frank, we had a staff, and we had the community agencies. We then brought on faculty members. We wanted faculty members who already got it a little, all right? So they'd already shown some interest, and we did cherry pick those first few. I think that's very true in saying. They come from a wide variety of disciplines. We've got some people in physical therapy and medicine, and they're from all over the university. We're working really hard to get within the Northwestern system. We have had audience with several of the directors of departments, the president of, that's the wrong label, the director of NUCATS actually knows us well. We also have a community member now on an external advisory board for our NRH Translational Studies grant. So we're getting there, but it's slow. It's just slow. It's a big system. Kareem's also here from, and Ed. And I will add to that, we do have small seed grants for our faculty also so they can carve out a portion of their time, and this can also be rewarded in their tenure process.
So thank you. We want to see you after the meeting. So we have an assignment for you. So again, I want to say thank you to all of our really fantastic partners and presenters. Let's give them a hand.